LinkedIn is very much an accident. It's very much a thing I never expected to be part of my career. Not only are people making stuff up openly, but also they're trying to hide the fact they're being self-promoting. This whole idea of telling a personal story, but the actual objective is to promote your own brand or your own ability or your own success.
You know it's done well when I wake up in the morning and all the Americans have emailed me overnight saying, is this guy your business partner? You need to get rid of him.
I get a lot of people like messaging me like, what is medically wrong with you?
I find weakness, I jump on it. Find the sheep. There's a lot of sheep at every networking event, you can tell, because they're going bah and just eating canapes.
What if you just picked one CEO that didn't deserve it and just like tried to proper ruin his life? Ken Cheng, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
No worries. Thank you for joining. When I told some of the team in my office today, we've had Rory Sutherland, we've had great business leaders. They were jumping up and down. They were very, very excited that their bosses get to sit down with the one and only Ken Cheng. So I'm going to hit you with a big question to kick off, Ken. Who are you and what problem do you solve?
Oh, I've never heard of what I do as framed as solving a problem, but I guess it can be. I'm Ken Cheng. I'm a comedian mainly by trade, but I also do a little bits of other stuff. Like I also play online poker as a side hustle. So I do count myself as a professional poker player as well. But the problem I solve is, I guess, people hate reading LinkedIn. They absolutely hate 100% of the posts on it, and I've brought it down to they hate 95% of the posts on it.
Okay. Well, I think we're definitely going to get into the LinkedIn because I feel like that could be a conversation on its own. But like, it feels like from the outside world, you're also a comedian, and LinkedIn started as a bit of a side hustle. So in like your day-to-day life of work and stuff like that, I go, what does that look like?
It kind of varies a lot, actually. I think comedy, you end up doing so many different kind of jobs that you would never expect to do. But I don't do much. I used to just do stand-up. I used to just do gigs and perform, and I have my own series on BBC Radio 4, which is just me doing stand-up for about 12 episodes over four different series. So I've got all sorts of those kind of stand-up things going on, but I don't really do that much stand-up anymore. I've kind of walked away from it after the pandemic because it was quite an eye-opening experience being in during the pandemic on my own and just be like, okay, there's no comedy. Actually, it's quite relaxing. it's actually quite antisocial to go out and do a stand-up gig. You're leaving your house in the evening when everyone's getting home, and then you're like going out and you're traveling in London, like probably up to an hour on the tube, and you do like 20 minutes of comedy and you just go straight home for an hour and you miss out like on your social life. You miss out on, yeah, like spending time with people you actually like to do it. So I actually stopped doing a lot of gigging.
So then where does LinkedIn come into things then?
Yeah, so I've done lots of different writing. I started moving towards writing. LinkedIn is very much an accident. It's very much a thing I never expected to be part of my career. I never thought I'd get a big following from it. I just started posting for fun. It was always this like little thing that I would open LinkedIn and post some bullshit for fun. And I'd just have like a few hundred followers. I just have a few hundred connections and they'll mostly be people I knew or knew of. And then it started growing from there. So it's each post started getting more and more likes over time. And it went viral on like Twitter and Reddit because of the subreddit. I don't know if you know the subreddit, LinkedIn Lunatics. One of mine went big on there. And I think that started picking up traction. And over time, there were a few like big jumps in followers from certain posts when it got shared on Twitter or whatever. And that kind of tipped over. And then suddenly now I get a lot more likes every post.
And where does your, I mean, I love your posts, but I know that they are very, very close to some of the stuff that I see that's literal. Where do you find your inspiration? What kinds of people are jumping out to you?
I think anywhere. I think definitely that I started seeing a lot of the posts on LinkedIn, and there was a way of writing on it, which was so easy to parody. It's so ridiculous. Not only are people making stuff up openly, but also they're trying to hide the fact they're being self-promoting. This whole idea of telling a personal story, but the actual objective is to promote your own like brand or your own ability or your own success, is just so easy to mock. And I saw so many of those posts that it was just so natural to write in that style. But in general now, I think inspiration could come from literally anywhere. It could come from a conversation with someone I know that who is in a 9-to-5, and they'll say something that happened at work. And it's so easy to everything that happens at work is just completely ridiculous from my point of view, because I don't have a 9-to-5. And it's just so easy to look at that and go, okay, what's an absurd way to reframe this, but still have what's ridiculous about the real life situation? And I think that's where it kind of taps into people's, they can recognize everything that I'm writing about, because it comes from something that's happened to them at work. And it's just like that dialed up to 11.
Surely the people that are commenting now, like obviously with new LinkedIn found fame, people aren't commenting and buying into it and thinking, oh my God, this is true. Or do you still get the odd dodgy comment?
I still get quite a lot of dodgy comments. Everyone who follows me directly probably knows it's a joke. Because they've probably picked that up. But then now it's getting shared to everyone's, like, all my followers and stuff. And not all of them are clued in. And still I get a lot of comments who don't get it and who think it's serious.
What do you, if you had to, like, put it into three or five topics, when you look at, like, the corporate, like, landscape, what are three or five absolute bankers that you know are going to hit when you write about them?
I don't know if I would think of it as absolute bankers, because as soon as I think you kind of cover one, it's kind of been covered. I think the hiring process is always good, actually. Anything involving like interviews, CVs, generally just taps into the pure frustration at like that process. If you can find something new about like the interviews or new angle on something that happened in an interview, that's always a banker. I think anything that is slightly too sexual is always funny, because people are just like, why? There are people who are just like, why would someone post this on LinkedIn? And you do get actual real people posting something that's overly personal and sometimes like inappropriately sexual, or like just way too much information. I think that's always quite a good banker if you can find a good angle on that. Yeah, but generally I think the ones I don't expect to do well, and they usually, it's because I haven't just gone, okay, that's a banker. That's a banker topic. Sometimes actually the ones which are bankers means the quality of the post isn't as good or isn't as surprising to people to see. Like after a while, I find myself doing too many about like romance and sex that actually they weren't as fresh as the first time I like started talking about like like what you're doing with your wife and stuff. The very first posts I did were like really shocking. And then I find actually there's diminishing returns on any topic.
Okay. So then in terms of looking at LinkedIn, obviously LinkedIn used to be a job board, a networking tool. How are you utilizing it as Ken Cheng and not the crazy CEO to, I guess, bring in opportunities and make money?
I've started getting a few like gigs off it. I've had a lot of people offer me social media work as well. There's a few different people who have offered me the chance to write for their LinkedIn itself. It's quite difficult though, because I think I can't always, first of all, some of them a lot of job offers come to me and they're like, I'll do this work. And then the pay they offer is so low. They don't think like that I deserve any money. Or they'll sometimes even offer me, someone offered me a gig at some conference in Malta. And then not only were they not willing to pay me, but they wanted me to pay for my own flights and accommodation, which is so unheard of. So sometimes there'll be someone who just offers me work and it is a complete waste of time because they assume, oh, what he's doing isn't paid. But that's crazy, obviously, coming from a professional comedian background. It's like, no, you have to pay us for our work. But the other challenge is sometimes I'll get offered social media work, but before a company, which I just can't. What they want my style of writing, but it just wouldn't work from this like random finance company in Dubai if I start posting for their LinkedIn like that. So there are, I can't take every job, but it is starting to pick up now that I get more traction.
We Jack more so than me likes to post a lot of really ridiculous stuff on LinkedIn. Yeah. And he once posted about not paying some kids to wash his car to teach them a lesson. And you know it's done well when I wake up in the morning and all the Americans have emailed me overnight saying, is this guy your business partner? You need to get rid of him. This guy's a fucking prick. All this sort of stuff. Has anyone ever really taken it literally and reached out to you and said, what are you doing? Or worse?
Probably not directly. I do get a lot of comments which are like really having a go at me. There's the biggest one was I did a post about how I, when I owe someone money, like if I owe someone £15.94, I'll send them £15.49 as an accident and no, they'll never call it out. And that one actually surprisingly got the most hate. That one got so much hate. A lot of people just call me a thief. A lot of people just, that one, people were a lot of people just thought it was serious and real. And like, it's got like 6,000 comments on it. And I think 5,000 of them are people calling me a thief or a scumbag and being like, oh, you probably don't have any friends then and stuff like that. It was wild because I thought this one is obviously so ridiculous, but something about it, people just believed.
So this is a question more for me. Is it appropriate to do posts on LinkedIn if you're not attractive with a selfie?
I think you should use AI. That's what AI is for now. You can AI yourself in any way. Are you saying you're not attractive? I think you seem like a fairly attractive man.
You changed your stance on that as you were saying it. How would I make myself more attractive with AI?
I think people do that, right? They have like AI filtered profile pictures now. I think you just like take a picture of yourself and then you just type into AI, make it more attractive.
Like wrap me in a towel or something.
No, it could change like all your features. I've seen people, was there a politician who did that? I think there was a politician who got caught doing that, just making himself like got way more chiseled features.
Can you, what was the name of the app again? Sorry, Ken. Can you?
I don't know the app.
find it. Did you say chiseled? That was very good.
No, it'll be a good name for it. I think any AI filter app might be able to do it. I don't use AI, so I don't know much about it, but it's out there.
I don't know if you must get loads and loads of feedback now from like friends and people that see these kind of posts. When I post ridiculous stuff, I get a lot of people like messaging me like, what is medically wrong with you and things like that. Do you get questions like that? And I guess I'm still trying to work out what it is that's wrong with me. Do you have any conclusions?
Do you have friends who message you that?
Friends, enemies, co-workers, all of it.
I think because I am ostensibly in a comedy, they're not that shocked at what I'm doing, people I know. So I think people are like, there is an element of like, why are you doing LinkedIn? But I think that's less, I get that less now, because when I was posting to 500 people, people were like, why are you posting this? But now they see it's like massive. So it's like, it's quite clear why I'm posting at that.
Okay. Right, makes sense. So I've just got to wait for the doctor's results until I can announce it. I want to kind of maybe ask you a few questions as if you were Mr. LinkedIn himself. Do you think of it as a persona? So like when you're sitting down to write these jokes, you put on a suit and tie from Primark and you pretend to be a high flying CEO?
No, I never go full method. I've just woken up. Usually that's when I usually do them. Or like I just write it on my phone. As soon as I wake up, that's when an idea comes to me and I'll just post it at some point in the day. But no, I don't have the full persona. I should do it. I should get like a turtleneck. One of those Steve Jobs turtlenecks.
Okay. So is it like based on one person or
no.
do you feel like I've got Mr. Sexy CEO who talks about his wife Sandra's buttocks, and then I've also got Clive who doesn't let his team work from home. Those kind of characters.
I think it is one persona now. I think there are inconsistencies. I do keep changing how many wives he's had, and I keep changing how many children he has, and I keep changing what his company does. Like sometimes it's often it sells antivirus software, but sometimes it's like marketing, sometimes it's like consultancy, it's like whatever. But I think they are still coming from the same Ken Cheng CEO. There's no split, but sometimes it will just have to fit whatever I decide to parody. But I think now it is consistent enough. I have a consistent enough voice that it kind of can be the same person.
Could we bat some questions at you that Ken Cheng CEO might just see how he would respond?
Yeah, let's do it. This is an improv practice for me. It's good improv practice.
Okay, I'll do one and then I'll pass it over to Zach. So, are weekends a conspiracy theory created by the Big Rest?
I actually believe that it's been created by Big Relaxation. Yes. Big Rest for the layman. Because people spend more money on restaurants, cinema, rest, spas. I think it's the spa industry which created weekends. Originally it was a 6-day week and there was one day Sunday like God intended, and then the spas wanted more money, so they added the Saturday.
What animal would you say best represents your networking style?
A wolf. I find weakness, I jump on it. Find the sheep. There's a lot of sheep at every networking event. You can tell because they're going bah and just eating canapes, and you just find them. You're a predator, you smell blood, and you go for them, ravage them.
And what toxic trait do you think you look for when it comes to hiring people?
Willingness to betray one another at a moment's notice to get ahead in the corporate ladder. But I don't see that as toxic. I think no traits are toxic. There's only some which are more effective than others.
How can we better automate our lives outside of work?
Good question. You can use the kind of AI responses on LinkedIn chat and every single chat site to just completely automate all small talk and all conversation that you ever have with your family, with your partner, friends.
Nice. What relationship do you truly have with money?
Relationship. It's kind of a relationship of I use money, so I guess it's sort of an abusive relationship because I use and abuse money for my own ends, and money doesn't really get much from me because I have so much money.
What's the most common thing that limits people's potential?
Common thing is having morals. Really stops people when they're like, oh, I won't do it because it's a bad morally thing to do. But that's stupid.
Beautiful. We'll pause there. How obviously you're a comedian, you've done stand-up comedy, and you must have that feeling inside where you've got to get up on stage, where you feel like you want to die. Like when you do like a round of improv like that, how do you end up feeling afterwards?
Yeah, good. I think improv, there's a I really love the idea, the concept of improv. I've only done a few courses in it before, but I think it's I think with stand up, because you have everything you want to say beforehand, you're always gonna feel like a bit of a perfectionist about it. You're always gonna think about the things that went wrong, the jokes that you slightly flubbed. But improv, there's no expectation. It's like there's no way this is ever gonna be perfect. There's no way what you can say could possibly be perfect because you're saying it just as you come up with it. So you can kind of accept that it's just completely free and loose.
And do you, when you're writing jokes, especially for LinkedIn, but or just in general, do you follow like a routine of the like a structure, a joke structure?
No, not really. I treat it like improv. I start with the concept I want to make fun of. If it's like a thing on a CV or something that happened in the office, I'll start with a good first line. Usually, I'll have my first line in place, and I'll just write it logically from there. I'll just keep writing. I won't stop writing. I'll just think, what is the next thing? What's the next logical step from this statement? And then I make sure just to add jokes to like most lines, like just find ways to make it funnier. But I pretty much write it one long stretch once I have the concept, and I don't think of a formula because you can't really have a formula for humor. As soon as you use a formula, people will spot it, and it won't be surprising anymore.
So I sent Jack a post idea a few weeks ago, and he said we absolutely cannot post that; it'll get us cancelled. And I wanted to share it with you and just see what
Please,
your thoughts
please,
were. Okay.
please.
So my idea was salespeople work best when they're slightly autistic, and the more
Wow.
autism they have, the better they tend to be as salespeople. So we've started giving them the Pfizer vaccine in the mornings to up the level of autism they have throughout the day. And I said, I think this is going to do bits. I think this is going to do amazing. And Jack said, we absolutely cannot post that or the business will fail. And we post a lot of stupid stuff. So what are your thoughts as the professional? Do we sack Jack off and get it out there?
No, I think that is quite funny, and I think it almost it probably I think it's tough because whenever you I don't really do jokes about autism because you never know. I'll say that you never know whether it's coming from a place of kind of understanding. Like you never know if the joke teller is like autistic themselves and actually is coming from a place of understanding it or is actually mocking it. I think that almost gets away with it because of the Pfizer vaccine, but it's quite clearly quite absurd out there. But I think there is always a danger that you are seen to be mocking autistic people. As soon as you bring up the word, even if yeah, you have to be really careful with that stuff. Like I tend to do that with I tend to avoid a few topics. Just in case there's like, you never know how they're gonna receive that.
That's good. It could be because we are both on the spectrum, so it's good to know that
Yeah,
we
yeah,
can
yeah.
put it
And
out
I
there.
think I definitely am too. And I think even then, like I had this one post which got complained about by someone I vaguely knew about ADHD. So you never know how people. Luckily, it was only one person, so I didn't feel like. I felt like, oh, that was quite a specific interpretation for them, but you never know how people are gonna interpret it. I think if you constantly posted about being like pro neurodiversity, like if you're always talking about if you brand yourself as like always talking about autism awareness, you can do those jokes. You would probably get away with it.
Is it possible to be in your mid-20s on LinkedIn and not have some sort of neurodiversity?
I think everyone I know is neurodiverse because I do comedy. Everyone in comedy is neurodiverse, and all the people kind of who are similar to me are probably neurodiverse. So who knows? Like maybe everyone is neurodiverse. Who's still
That's what I
neurotypical
think.
these days?
I also had another one that Jack didn't let me post about how we were giving, again, about salespeople. if they didn't work for us, they'd be school shooters. And again, he said, we can't post that either. So I just say I'm getting the line wrong. Where is the line? Is there a line?
I think it's what you can get away with. I think as soon as you mention any of those topics, people are going to go, are they trying to get a laugh out of me because they've just said those words? Are they trying to get a laugh at me out of me because they think school shooting is inherently funny, or is there something else going on? And it's always tough. It's always tough to find which people are okay with. And actually, the things that people are okay with, I'm always a bit surprised by.
where do you find the line is then? Like, what topics might make me shocked, but you think, you know what, Jack, fuck you, I'm going to post them anyway?
What topics I think is okay, but is actually might other people would be like, that's cancelable. I think any like historical disaster is
like the Titanic.
Yeah, Titanic, 9/11, like old school terrorist attacks. Like
that Titanic wasn't a terrorist attack. That was a job gone wrong.
Accidents, major disasters like the Challenger disaster, the Hindenburg, you know, like I tend to find those things people won't usually get that het up about, but when it's like more like social issues to do with their identity, that's probably more dangerous.
What about like I always hear this phrase in comedy, punching up or punching down?
Yeah, so punching like, up.
Who would you punch up to? Who's okay to fire shots at?
Punching up to any, I tend to punch up to, I think my whole LinkedIn is punching up to CEOs, basically. It's entirely anti-CEO. And the joke is always on, like, bosses and people. Well, the joke is always against people who kind of believe and love capitalism. Anyone who plays into capitalism as a system, anyone who kind of is trying to play that game, I think that's who I'm always against. I think I used to punch up more on a kind of identity basis, but I don't think that's actually that interesting, really. I think that's quite easy, like punching up to like people, like white people, for example. I used to do more of that like 6 years ago, but I don't think it's actually that useful. I actually kind of now I prefer to do it on like kind of capitalism versus non-capitalism basis.
Because when I'm scrolling through LinkedIn, not I post, but I always try and like leave comments and say something sarcastic or something stupid. Like some woman posted a photo of a donkey this morning. I said, "Oh my god, is that the donkey from Nazareth? I recognize him." but I'll leave little comments in the hope that Zach will see them, and they're only for him. But just little things in terms of like comments and stuff like that. And I was thinking I'm always a big fan of like the inside joke, and I was thinking about like your persona. What if you just picked one CEO that didn't deserve it and just like tried to proper ruin his life?
Could be fine, to be honest. Depends. Oh, if he didn't deserve it, I'd have to find a reason he deserves it. To be honest, I think I believe in people deserving it. Just some one thing. It'd be
like
quite
a
funny
CEO of only like 8 people, and you just tag him in the post every time and say, "Screw you, Steve Tyler," something like that.
Steve Tyler. Let's look up Steve Tyler and find the first Steve Tyler and just ruin his life. I think that might be harassment, right? Imagine pure, just unadulterated harassment, which is kind of funny as an idea. In practice, I don't think I could do it.
What do you think about people who change their job role from like CEO to chief impact officer and stuff like that?
I think fair enough. I think it's not like the highest brow of humor, but they got to get some. These people are clearly like lacking in that much creativity. That's all they could do. Chief crack officer, chief banter officer. I think fair play to them. They don't know any better. That's all they can come up with.
Do you find that certain parts of the world get it more than others?
I actually don't. I actually get quite a lot of people getting it internationally. And actually, one of the biggest patterns I've noticed, a lot of people from India add me. A lot of people from India add and like my stuff and message me. There's probably, that might just be because of the numbers of India is the most populous country in the world, but I do notice a lot of people, Indians, like, they really love it. And I think it must just kind of tap into the work culture there specifically, because their work culture is very Western, but also East, like, yeah, very wet. India's a very westernized country, but it is also a very work heavy country, a lot of Asian culture. So it's kind of the perfect blend to get my humor. I think they really like my humor.
Who doesn't get it? Who doesn't get Ken Chiang?
Americans. I think a lot of, I think people in the 55 and up, like 60, anytime I
Steve
see
Tyler's
kind of
57.
Steve Tyler. anytime I see someone who looks in their 50s or up comment, I know it's going to be, more likely than not, it's going to be someone going, like, what is this nonsense?
Okay. I like it. Ken Chiang, it's been amazing to have you on the podcast. I've been thinking about getting you on for a while. I guess before you go, can I ask you one last question?
Sure.
Something I wanted to ask you. Do you feel sorry for people that work in HR?
I feel sorry for anyone who has a job. Anyone who has to go into any office and deal with any boss or any coworker, or just have to, like, talk about KPIs or B2B or like circling back Microsoft Teams. Anyone who, I've never used Microsoft Teams. Anyone who's ever used that, I feel sorry for. HR, probably, I think they've chosen it. I don't feel particularly sorry for them.
They deserve it.
I think they deserve it. Even
the way you said B2B sounded wrong, then, Ken.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was.
I've never said it out loud. I still don't quite know what B2B is.
I'll explain off air. Ken, amazing to have you. I've got to say it to you, but you did a post a while ago about the Dragon's Den and the celebrations. Oh, my.
So good.
It really
unbelievable.
Got me. It was my favorite ever. It was like, until you've been in my position. Just genius.
That one I thought would just bomb. I thought, this is too absurd. It's like, it's too out there.
No, amazing. Beautiful. So, Ken, I'm sure people listening to this, everyone will know who you are from LinkedIn. But if they are, what opportunities are you looking for? How can they get in contact with you? How can they offer you work but then refuse to pay any of your travel? Tell us where people can find you, Ken.
Yeah, I'm just on LinkedIn as Ken Chiang. You can find me quite easy there. I'm on everything else as Ken Chiang, at Ken Chiang Comedy, probably. Yeah, Twitter, Insta, etc.
Ken Chiang, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.